obviously, of the Rav, Zecharonu Livracha. Beyond the formidable task of doing justice to greatness of immense magnitude and proportion, there's the added obstacle, which of course is posed by the incredible multidimensionality and the complexity of both personality and thought. One need not have been exposed for very long to the Rav, or even exposed on a personal level at all, nor one need be necessarily an especially sensitive observer in order to discern that these facts are simply elemental. It's a measure of the Rav's greatness and complexity that probably accounts for what I imagine, though I haven't heard specifically, probably accounts for the widely different presentations or the impressions of those presentations that have taken place during the Shloshim series. Surely it's not coincidental, and again I'm speculating, but it's probably intelligent speculation, that different speakers have conveyed extremely different impressions. And probably, it's also not, speakers have conveyed extremely different impressions. And probably, it's also not out of the realm of possibility at least, one can discern patterns in the presentations that reflect the orientations of the presenters themselves. That such a wide variety of individuals, each exceptionally talented in his own right, each feels strongly that he was molded under the Rav's sphere of influence, may be on the one hand superficially confusing to Talmidim, but actually, on further and deeper reflection, actually constitutes the greatest testimonial of enduring and of profound impact. Certainly tonight I make no effort whatsoever to capture the essence of the Rav, Zecharonu Livracha, but merely to reflect some of my own impressions, and in my case, admittedly, accenting those themes that shaped, or have shaped, and continue to shape, my own hashkafa. In addition to the factors that I just alluded to, the element of Hakaras HaTov is a dominant one as well. Any analysis of a Rebbe has to contain that critical element. And of course, that dictates or militates against pure objectivity, but again, that's not the purpose this evening. Like many others of my generation, what I would call second generation Talmidim, my exposure to the Rav began much, much before I ever saw and certainly before I ever heard him. Growing up in my own home, my father was here this evening, was a close Talmud of the Rav in the 40s, the end of the 40s, and continued to be a close Talmud of his throughout. The Rav in our family, in our home, before any kind of personal contact, represented ultimate halachic authority and the standard of commitment to both Talmud Torah and its excellence. Growing up, one aspired, one dreamt of personal contact. My first exposure came as a high school student. The experience attending one of the public lectures, not shiurim, but lectures, the Rav every year used to give a yahrzeit lecture for his wife, and I think his yahrzeit of his wife and his brother. And when I was in high school, my older brother already was attending here, the yeshiva, was in the Rav Shir. He suggested that I come along, first time that I ever heard a lecture on the theme of Torah v'anava, Torah and humility. For me, that was an extremely important religious as well as intellectual experience. The crowd, the atmosphere of the yeshiva itself, created in me a very profound impression of Kavod HaTorah, of Yiras Talmud Chacham. Moreover, in the same sense eloquently described in the Hesped by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik Shlita, one did experience stepping out almost of daily life into a different world, into a world of constructs and ideals, categories of Torah, that were more compelling and in a certain sense more real than daily life itself. It was then that I understood for the first time, and have always since then understood the true meaning, this to be the true meaning, of the difference between Chai Olam and Chai Isha. At that point, I was moved, motivated, to read the English articles of the Rav. In that time, in the late 60s, early 70s, I think there were only two, Lonely Man of Faith and Confrontation, both published in Tradition. And then, with great effort, considering the state of my Hebrew at that time, and the fact that the Ish HaLacha had not yet been published, had not yet been translated into English, that only took place in the 80s, but with great effort, I obligated myself to read what was and remains the most important essay that I've ever read, the Ish HaLacha. Fascination with the Rav's thought, captivation with his Divrei Torah, is something that for me increased exponentially in my exposure to Mori V'Rabbi Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Shlita, in the year and a half that I spent in Shivat Har Etzion in Eretz Yisrael. My direct exposure began upon my return from Eretz Yisrael in the summer of 1974. The Rav, every summer in those days, gave shiurim in Boston. And it was impressed upon me that that was a good opportunity to be initiated into the shiur, especially since the Rav in Boston, so I was told, and in fact, looking back at it, it definitely seems to be the case, was much more relaxed, much more accessible. The shiur itself took on a different kind of coloration. That summer, the Rav learned Krisus, and soon I'd like to share with you a Dvar Torah, part of at least one shiur that I heard then. My education continued for the next 5 years. The Rav learned Cheskes Abatim, Psachim, Gittin, Bav Metzia Perek Azov, Bava Kama Hagozel Eitzim. For me, experience in the Rav Shir, to be honest, was an ambivalent one. A mixture of frustration of what might have been had I been there in an earlier stage, and exhilaration with the flashes that were. A combination of factors, already spoken of by others, the Rav's age, his ill health, the uneven mix in the shiur itself, and the great quantity of Talmidim in that mix, dictated a completely different pace and a different kind of intensity and rigor than I had anticipated on the basis of stories that I had heard from my father, from Rav Lichtenstein, from the legends of the past, all of which were not merely legends, but truth. But at the same time, the Rav's powers in those years, years that I were there, 74 to 79, were fully recognizable and sufficiently displayed, accounting for the moments of not only the moments, the times of exhilaration, but at the same time accenting further the gap between what could have been and what was. And yet, the true signs of enduring impact and of greatness is the test of time. And in retrospect, frustrations of the time notwithstanding, and I hope putting aside idealistic nostalgia, these were years for me of critical personal development, growth in yedios, derech, methodology, and not less important, the invisible, immeasurable, intuitive impact of simply being exposed on a daily basis to a Gadol Hadar. The depth of Hakaras HaTov is something that I cannot fully articulate, nor perhaps should I try. I think it appropriate at this point to share one of the earliest shiurim that I did hear from the Rav, part of a shiur at least, in Krisus in the first summer that I was exposed to him, and part of which overlapped with my first days in the shiur here in Yeshiva, the year that the Rav taught Cheskes Abatim. He began the year, as he often did, by learning in Yanim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And that year in particular, we were all enthralled. The Rav began the year with an analysis of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, much of which appears in the publication The Kuntres and Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which is apparently based on shiurim that he gave in summer, one of the 1960s, I don't know exactly which year, but many of which, again, were repeated in that small period of time. The topic was Kohen Gadol, sugya discussed in Krisus, and especially the theme of Meshicha b'shemen ha-mishcha for Kohen Gadol and Melech. What I'd like to do is just briefly repeat part of that shiur, and then try to apply as an analog to the Rav himself in order to highlight some of the facets of his unique character. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, speaks of the following problem. The Mishnah tells us that a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim had to have a waiting substitute, just in case for some reason at the last moment he would become disqualified, it would be necessary to replace him with a Kohen Gadol waiting in the wings. The question is, what happens after Yom Kippur is over and the original Kohen Gadol is ready to serve once again? So the Gemara tells us, Tan Rabbanan, Ira b'psul, Umino Acher Tachtav, Rishon Chozo Lavodoso, Sheni, Kol Mitzvos Kuna Gadola Alav, Divra Meir. Rabbeinu is of the opinion that in some sense, both remain a Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon Chozo Lavodoso, Sheni, Eino Roy, Lo L'Kohen Gadol, V'lo L'Kohen Hedyot. The first one returns, he once again takes up his mantle as Kohen Gadol. The second is in a state of limbo. He neither is a Kohen Gadol, nor can he practice as a Kohen Hedja. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa b'Yosef b'Nilein b'Tziporish Irub b'Psul b'Kohen Gadol. This took place. The Kohen Gadol was disqualified. Uminu tachtav. And in his place, another Kohen Gadol, substitute Kohen Gadol, was appointed. V'Amar Chachamim, Rishon Chozal Avodaso. The first returns to his Avoda. Sheni in a roy lola coin godov lola coin hedyo. The second is in a state of limbo. Why? Coin godol mishum eva. Coin godol, he cannot be, there cannot be two coinim gdolim simultaneously because of eva, will create sense of competition, hatred. Coin hedyot, resentment. Coin hedyot mishum malin bakodesh velomaridin. And yet he cannot return to his status as coin hedyot, because of the principle that there's no turning back when it comes to Kedusha, Malim Velo Marid. Tosus Al-Atar immediately asks the following question. Hikshari, Midakama Tamim Shumeva, Mechlal, Diminadin Hairoilios Kohen Gadol Midaraisa, Ela Gozu Rerabanan Mishum Eva. Apparently, the very fact that we're dealing with the theme of Eva here, the reason he cannot practice as a Kohen Gadol, implies that Midaraisa, he retains the status of Kohen Gadol, but he's not able to practice. The tema im kain ma'itzrich lefushay tamid the Kohen Hedyot mishmalim b'kodesh. But if that's the case, then why does the Gemara need to resort to the explanation that one cannot function as a Kohen Hedyot in such circumstances because malim b'kodesh v'lo moridin? There's a much more fundamental reason to disqualify him from being a Kohen Hedyot. Typically, in the Alfina Mikra, the Perek Sheni Dizvachim, the Kohen Gadol Shalavash Bigde Kohen Hedyot V'Avar Avodasa Psula Mishimachusar Begadim. Once he's a Kohen Gadol Midaraisa, he can't function as a Kohen Hedyot because he can't wear the Begadim of the Kohen Hedyot and accomplish the Avoda. He would be in the category of Mechusar Begadim. Then Tosis goes on and suggests another possibility and rejects it. In other words, what is going on in this Gemara? On the one hand, there's a signal, very clear signal, that this deposed temporary Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Gadol Daraisa, and so he remains. On the other hand, if so, why is his inability to function as Kohen Hedyot based only on Malim Velo Maridin? Why isn't it a more fundamental reason, namely the fact that he's Mechusar Begad? Here Tosis establishes the following Yisod. V'yishlomar de Kohen Gadol Mismane Bepeh, Umistalik Bepeh. The Kohen Gadol can be appointed and he can be fired. Ubrushami Darish La Mikra. Umistabra Shadavar Tali Bemelech Ubeachav HaKohanim. This appointment and this resignation or forced resignation is something which depends on the fellow Kohanim and the Melech, but something that can be accomplished. A Kohen Gadol can be fired. But the truth of the matter is that what emerges from Tosis is anything but a clear picture. Because if we were simply to focus on the conclusion, then the implication is that a Kohen Gadol can be appointed, or a second Kohen Gadol can be appointed, and he can be fired. And the implication would be he then loses his status as Kohen Gadol, such that we've resolved the problem of Mechusar Begadim, but at the same time, we shouldn't lose sight of what brought us to this point. The first half of the Gemara, where the Gemara says that the only reason he can't function as a Kohen Gadol is Mishumeva, implying that Midaraisa, he retains the status of a full Kohen Gadol. Unless one is to understand by putting the two halves of Tosis together, that the point is that we force him to resign Mishumeva, but once he's resigned, then fundamentally he can no longer function as a Kohen Gadol. Maybe that would be a possible explanation of Tosis. But the fact is that at very minimum, Tosis suggests that a Kohen Gadol can be fired. At the maximum, Tosis leaves us with an ambivalent picture regarding this Kohen Gadol. He is and he isn't at one and the same time. But that aside, Rav pointed out, Shagas Aryeh here asks a very important question. Shagas Aryeh points out that the Mishnah, seventh parak of Nazir, says as follows. Chords of Machlokas in the following case. Second. Kohen Gadol v'Nazir ein metamin l'krovehen. Of metamin l'meis mitzvah. Both a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are not allowed to be metamin l'krovehen. Hayu mahalchem baderech u'matzim meis mitzvah. What happens if a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir walk together and they encounter a meis mitzvah? Rabbi Lazar amar yitami Kohen Gadol v'al yitami Nazir. Rabbi Lazar's opinion was the Kohen Gadol rather than the Nazir should be mistame because he doesn't have to bring a korban. Chachamim omrim, yitame nazir, v'al yitame kohen. The kohen gadol should not be mistame, the nazir should. Amalem Rabbi Lazar, yitame kohen, sheni may be karban al tumasa, v'al yitame nazir, shu may be karban al tumasa. Amlo, the Chachamim responded to him, yitame nazir, shen kedushaso kedushasola, v'al yitame kohen, she kedushaso kedushasola. So basically the mission establishes according to the Chachamim, that a Kohen Gadol is a permanent appointment. Once he's a Kohen Gadol, he can't be fired. And hence, if there's a conflict between a Nazir and Kohen Gadol, one of the two must be Mistame. According to the Chachamim, it's preferable that the Nazir, rather than the Kohen Gadol, do so, because the Kohen Gadol's Kedusha is a Kedusha soul. Shagas Aryeh asks, according to Tosis and Yuma that we just read, the Kohen Gadol can be fired. The Haraya, there's no problem of Mechusar Begadim, when the substitute, or the temporary substitute, Kohen Gadol, returns to civilian life, if one can so characterize it. What's going on? There's an apparent contradiction between the Gemara and Nazir, and the implication of the Gemara, and certainly, explicitly, Tosis in Yuma. Rav said that the answer is as follows. Rav Chaim explained that there really are two dinim of Kohen Gadol, and for that matter, generally, two dinim of Kedushas, Kuhuna, Kedushas, Meshicha. On the one hand, there's a halacha of Meshicha as a halacha in Kedushas Gavra. When the Kohen Gadol is sanctified as the Kohen Gadol, he attains a certain personal status which transforms the essence of his person. He has now been transformed personally into a Kohen Gadol. That's a personal Kedusha. That's one element. And then there's a second element. And that refers to the professional capacity, the functional capacity of the Kohen Gadol. The Minui Hagavra, which relates to his function, and the fact that he is the Kohen Gadol as opposed to Kohen Hedjotz under him. Rav Chaim pointed out that essentially we find Shemin HaMishcha in Tanakh in more than one context. On the one hand, in the context of Melech, where primarily the appointment is one of Minui, not Kedushas HaGavra, though the Tosefta and Shavuos implies that there's also a measure of Kedushas HaGavra for Melech, but certainly the primary theme in Melech is Minui, function. On the other hand, the same Gemara in Yuma compares the Meshicha of Kohen Gadol, or the Kedusha of Kohen Gadol, to the Kedusha of a Kli Shares. And of course, when we speak of Kli Shares, it has nothing to do with Minui, there's no sense of function. Kli Shares is a Heftza, not a Gavra. But there is Kedushas Atzmis, inherent, intrinsic Kedusha. And if that's the case, there are two themes of Kedusha. One, inherent, intrinsic Kedushas HaGavra, The other, Kedushas Minui. When it comes to Kedushas Minui, that is something which can be given and taken away. You can be appointed, you can be fired. When it comes to Kedushas Agavra, which is intrinsic, inherent, which relates to the essential personality, that there is no going back. That indelibly and permanently transforms the individual. If that's the case, then perhaps we can understand the differences between the two Gemaras. After all, the fact is that the Gemara Numa relates to the question of, according to Tosis' problem, the problem of Bgadim. Chusar Bgadim is a problem of Minui Kohen Gadol, the function of the Kohen Gadol. When it comes to Tuma, on the other hand, that relates to the Kedushas Gavra of the Kohen Gadol. When it comes to the Sugya Nazir, the Mishnah is correct in the name of the Chachamim when it says that Nazir is Kedushas Shah, and Kohen Gadol is Kedushas Olam. When it comes to the Sugya Yuma, if not for Malam Bakodesh Veloma Ridin, a Kohen Gadol who is fired could return to the Avoda. There would be no problem of Mechusar Begadim, precisely because that is a problem of Minui Kohen Gadol, which is subject to resignation. This issue can be reflected by a test case. Not only the issue of resignation, which is the issue here that we're focusing on, but there's a way in which to test this outside of the issue itself. And that is Kohen Mashuach Muhamma. Chaim suggested that Kohen Mashuach Muhamma has no minui in terms of his function. What he does have, because he was Nimshach, is Kedushas Agavra. And if you look carefully, you'll see that when it comes to Begadim, Kohen Mashuach Muhamma wears the Begadim of a Kohen Hedyot. Whereas when it comes to Tuma, at least the case can be made that he's treated similarly, or at least superiorly, more stringently, than a Kohen Hedyot. If that's the case, then what emerges is a very clear picture. Indeed, the Yerushalmi in Horios, Parak Gimel Mishnah Aleph, says, Kohen Gadol shechata malkan oso v'ein ma'aviren oso migdulaso. A Kohen Gadol who becomes a chote cannot be fired, though, of course, he's subject to malkus. Ksiv kinezer shemen mishkas alokov alav ani Hashem. Kivyachal ma'ani bigdulasi af aron bigdulaso. You cannot fire the Kohen Gadol. But again, that refers to his Kedushas Agavra. To be contrasted with the other Yerushalmi that is quoted by Tosis, which says explicitly that the Kedusha of Kohen Gadol is not permanent at all. This issue is also reflected in the Minui of a Kohen Gadol. Who, after all, is it that appoints the Kohen Gadol? Tosis that I just read suggests that it's Echav HaKohanim as well as the Melech. That in itself is a bit problematic. What kind of combination is that? But the Rambam, in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvav, mentions not the Melech, nor Echav HaKohanim, instead, Bezen HaGadol. The Rav, in the Kuntres that was published, in the Kuntres of Aras Yom Kippurim, notes this and leaves it Betzar Chiyun. But I once saw that Rav Elvel also takes up this problem and suggests the following simple explanation, an explanation which the Rav himself suggested in other contexts, the context of Kiddush HaChodesh and Smicha. Namely, that the function of Bezen HaGadol here is not that of Bezen HaGadol per se, in their function as the High Court, but it's Bezen HaGadol as the representation of Klal Yisrael. That's how the Rav explains Bezen HaGadol's function even outside of Lishas HaGazis in the context of Kiddush HaChodesh as well as other dinim. And therefore, what Tosa says and what the Rambam says are really not that far from each other. Echav Kohanim, Melech, Bezen HaGadol, these are all simply different means of establishing the Minui Al Yidei Klal Yisrael, the Netzige Klal Yisrael, for this appointment. But of course, this implies very strongly the Minui element of Kohen Gadol, rather than its Kedusha. In the Shiurim and Krisus, the Rav added another element to this. The Gemara in Krisus suggests that there are in fact two Meshichos in Kohen Gadol itself. Gemara in Daf Hayomid Beis tells us that there was Yitzika and there was Mashiach. Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Moshkin is Hamalachin Kiminezer, Vesakonim Kiminchi. Kyamar of Menashi Kiminchi Ivani. In itself is interesting. Tanachada, Betchila Metzik Shemin al Rosho, Gachakach Nosen Lo Shemin Berisainov. Vetanachriti, Betchila Nosen Lo Shemin Berisainov, Gachakach Metzik Lo Shemin al Rosho. Tanoihi, Ikilamandamar Meshicha Difa, Vikilamandamar Yitzika Difa. In other words, when it comes to Kohen Gadol, as opposed to Melech, there's both Mashicha and Yitzika. The Rav suggested then that perhaps the two Mashichos correspond precisely to the two Minuyim. But then the question in the Gemara becomes an especially intriguing one, namely which is primary, which is dominant, from which Kedusha does the other flow? Should the Yitzika be prior to the Mashicha, or vice versa? Ad kan the Dvar Halacha. First and foremost, the Rav was a brisker. Though not the pioneer or the exclusive practitioner of this derech, he was undoubtedly the master and the most creative practitioner of our dor. The distinction of Kedushas Minui on the one hand and Kedushas Gavra on the other, whether it's Rav Chaim's or the Rav's, really irrelevant at this point, is classic and typical of the Shita. Inspired by an apparent contradiction, the Gemar Numa, especially as understood by Tulsus, the Sugya Nazir, raised by the Shagas Aryeh, further analysis questions the unity of Kohen Gadol as an ideal, formal, integrated one category, and exposes the existence of two, at least two, distinctive dimensions. The result is a complex definition composed of two constituent components, each of which constitutes a distinct, ideal, pure construct, function and essence, persona and profession. The process then continues as each factor is isolated by establishing ukimtos that reflect the different nuances, siluk, resignation, and the kohen mashuach mochama as the test case. And an attempt is made to link the different aspects and dinim to the different motifs that have now been revealed. The final step, the one which is sometimes skipped, might be to assess the interrelation of this complex. Dominance, integration, fusion, complete independence of the two factors from one another, etc. Yitzika, Mashicha, the order, in this case, etc. While the Rav did not invent the approach, he did inherit it and contributed mightily to it in countless applications, even whole areas that were previously either neglected or underdeveloped, especially Arachaim, as well as in projecting new ideal categories for the Derech, particularly what comes to mind, the distinction between the objective and the inner experiential in mitzvos, the Maisa Mitzvah, and the Kiyama Mitzvah. Significantly, though we didn't create the Derech, to my knowledge, the Rav is the first to have ever articulated the religious and the philosophic assumptions upon which the Derech is based. Brisker analysis is compelling for its logical clarity, for its analytical sophistication, and even for its aesthetic beauty. The Rav remarked on more than one occasion, even I heard it in my 5-year span more than once, and it's written as well, that in his opinion, Reb Chaim's Derech saved Torah for the modern era, in an era in which it was necessary to compete with the advances and the impressive character of science and mathematics. Only such a Derech could have competed. But the Brisker Derech is compelling for far more fundamental reasons than that. By projecting the ideal, the conceptual, the formalistic halachic categories of thought, Brisk, consciously or unconsciously, established the absolute primacy centrality of halacha as a value system that is absolutely independent of any other human thought system. The halachic ideal in this context is viewed as something that is a priori. It is an ideal world whose values and sensibilities are ultimately more compelling and even more real. Again, the theme of Chai Shah versus Chai Olam, and therefore one which has the capacity to dictate normative policy in the imperfect world which we all inhabit. The logic of halacha, according to this view, is an inner logic, one which need not correspond, certainly need not be subservient, to any other frame of reference. The concept or the terminology chalos shem, so often bandied about in brisker discussions, really has its roots and justification in this theme. It constitutes basically an independent and an ideal standard unto itself. To the extent that one is able to internalize and on a normative level oppose perfect a priori halachic truths and realities upon one's own sense of reality, one succeeds as an isha halacha. The religious implications for Torah lishma as the primary form of avodas Hashem, for halachic centricity, and for developing a broader Torah outlook or hashkafa are considerable. The attraction to kodshim and taros, because they are ideal and self-contained units and categories, completely independent and without any kind of confusing pragmatic parallels, precisely follows from this perspective. Strikingly, the Rav always strove to conceptualize, at least in my 5-year experience, even the most trivial, even the most seemingly pragmatic detail of any sugya. Anumdina, chazaka, somehow it was all turned, transformed into a concept. There's another element here as well. What emerges from this, the implications, the brisker derech, is avodas Hashem as surrender, a theme which is major, pervasive, in all of the Rav's writing. The Rav mandates that the most dramatic surrender of all, for a Yahadus which is centered upon the cognitive process, Talmud Torah, is the surrender of mind and intellect to a system with its own inner logic. One that is occasionally independent, even incomprehensible in normal terms, to human pragmatic thinking. The dialectic of surrender, together with the assertion of cognitive control and creativity, chiddush, is a pervasive theme in all of the Rav's writings, most beautifully depicted, of course, as the central theme in Isha Halacha. Creativity within the superimposed halachic system of pure and ideal constructs based on an inner logic. The descriptive as opposed to explanatory thrust of Brisk generally, the attempt simply to define and to describe rather than to explain, is precisely again to be attributed to this perspective. As is the independent vocabulary, contrary to the Rogachover and others, and the stress on formulation. There are ethical implications of this derech as well. A self-aware brisker is one who does not require a musr that is distinct from his Talmud Torah, a point that the Rav speaks of in the Isha Halacha, explaining why it is that Reb Chaim rejected the musr movement. Because such an individual, a self-aware brisker, is constantly humbled by the implicit intellectual surrender that stands at the very core and center of the enterprise in which he engages, even as he engages it as a mechadesh. Unfortunately, of course, in the real world, not all briskers are self-aware. The capacity to articulate and to communicate, though, what must have been self-evident truths through heritage to the Rav, to communicate these to the uninitiated, I think probably entailed an extraordinary measure of self-awareness, remarkable incisiveness, and a remarkable capacity to penetrate and to communicate. The different formulations that appear in Isha Halacha as opposed to Ma'adodeich Midod and other places in the Rav's writings are beside the point here. But in any case, to witness the Rav in any shir for any small amount of time at all was certainly to experience unmistakably this dialectic of creativity and surrender in its most pure and in its most ideal form. The Rav's absorption in ideal halachic reality of conceptual truths subconsciously penetrated even the less sophisticated Talmidim, even the larger and certainly less sophisticated masses that attended his public lectures and shiurim, leaving the indelible impression that one indeed had made contact with Chai Olam, temporarily having left behind Chai Shah. Even a 14-year-old boy could sense, if certainly not articulate, that transition. The Rav's unique contribution, though, again as a Brisker, expressed itself in another critical area as well. To my knowledge, to my view, only the Rav was able to bridge the worlds of Halacha and Hashkafa Agada in a manner that brought unity to them, to both of them, without trivializing and compromising their distinctiveness. Others project a Hashkafa which is divorced from Halacha, or at least from Halachic details, characterized by the kind of classic Tamei HaMitzvah approaches that even Rishonim engaged in, Rambam, Sefer HaChinuch, and others. Those approaches almost universally ignore details. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim explicitly admits this. The Rav levels a significant and severe critique of these approaches in the very end of the Halachic Mind, in which he prefers and projects reconstruction and description rather than explanation and rationalization. On the other side of the coin, Briskers and other halachocentrists tend to halachicize Agada in a manner which diminishes its significance. The machlokas between Avram and Avimelech is a machlokas about Yushalomidas or Yushalomidas or Yushmidas. Havi Yush or Lohavi Yush. The Mishnah Melech in his Parshas Drachim, the Beis Halevi, the Griz, those are some of the published comments on Chumash, all basically adopt this kind of tendency. Issues of Agada, the Medrash Rabbah, is turned into simply an extension of the Daf Gemara. The Rav alone, with his unparalleled creativity and great intuitive sensitivity for literature and for ideas, something that undoubtedly was enhanced by his broad cultural experience and his control, masterful control, of multiple disciplines, his Torah Mada, was able to bring serious Brisker analysis to Agada and to ground Hashkafa in halachic values. He did so by expanding halacha's agenda. If halacha was more than simply what was printed on the page, but indeed referred to values and constructs and ideal concepts, then by developing, one could develop a Hashkafa even as one extended the development of those concepts. Hashkafa emerged as halachic analogs, correspondent to and flowing from halachic values and categories, but not simply reduced to halachic details. There was a full awareness in his writings and drashos that Hashkafa operates as its own discipline with its own integrity and process, and yet it parallels and flows from the halachic process. The drashos, the analyses of various areas of halacha, avelos, Rabbi-Talmud relationships, all sorts of categories, all bear these distinctive characteristics. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Shemitah of Yovel, in a very famous passage, identifies Leviim and Kohanim as the symbol of Talmidei Chachamim. In the very end of that passage, he alludes to not only Leviim, but to Kohanim, in reference to Kodshei Kadoshim, as being part of this process. The Rambam declares the following. V'lo shevet Levi bovad, ala kol ish v'ish mikol boi ha'olam asho nadva rucho, also v'hevinu ma'do'o la'haybadel la'amod l'fnei Hashem l'sharso v'la'ovdo, l'deyos Hashem, v'halach yashar kamo sh'aso hu elokim, u'parak me'al tzavaro ol ha'cheshbonot ha'rabim asho b'kshu b'nei Adam, ha'reze nitkadesh kodesh kadashim, v'yi Hashem chalko v'nachoso li'olam l'omei olamim. Vizakelo belamaze davar maspiklo kamoshes achal kohanim levim. The modern day levim are tamidei chachamim. After all, v'lama lo zacha levi benachas eretz yisrael bebizasa mechav bepnei shehuvdal laavod as Hashem l'sharso ulharoz drachav hayisharim mishpatav atzadikim l'rabim. Shenemar, according to pasuk, yaru mishpatecha liyakov v'taraschal liyisrael. Lefikach huvdalu midarkei haolam la'archin melchama kashar yisrael v'lo nochin v'lo zochin liatzma bekoach gufan. Elohim chel Hashem, shenemar barech Hashem chelo. V'hu baruch hu zocheh lahem shenemar ani chelkecha v'nachal ascha. If that's the case, then it stands to reason that the Kohen Gadol that we spoke of earlier, as depicted in Parshas Emor, where we read last week's Parsha, V'akohen ha-gadol me'achav asher yutzak ha-rosho shemen ha-mishcho mileyas yadav l'bo shes ha-bgadim es rosho lo yifrau b'gadav lo yifrom V'akol nafsho smes lo yavo l'aviv l'imo lo yutamo min ha-migdash lo yetze. Or, as developed even further and probably the basis for the Rambam, the Haftorah of Parshas Emor, Parsha Yecheskel Mem Dalid, which reads, V'yasami yoru ben kodesh l'chol ben tamei l'tahar yodiyum v'al riv hema yamdu l'mishpat v'mishpatai yishpatuhu v'as torasai v'as chukosai v'chol mo'adai yishmoru v'as shamsosai yikadeshu. If that's the case, then the Kohen Gadol represents precisely those qualities that are paradigmatic of the Gadol Hador himself. It's instructive then, briefly, since time is late, to examine some of those qualities, the method of investiture, the status, the stature, in order to more fully understand what it is that goes into the making of a Gadol. The Rav, Zecharno Livracha, very much fits the mold of the Kohen Gadol, whose portrayal he himself enhanced in his shiurim. To draw upon simply that which was developed previously, the Rav had both Kedushas HaGavra and Kedushas Minui. I won't presume to speak of the Rav as a private person. I certainly didn't merit that kind of relationship. Others who are here did, and I envy them. But I want to refer to is two elements within the public persona itself. The Kedushas HaGavra, the Talmud Torah, the Kedushas Minui, the Manhigus, the leadership qualities. The ideal of Talmud Torah, the Kedushas HaGavra, is obvious, and I've already briefly discussed it. Others, I'm sure, have discussed it in much greater length. The integration with leadership in the very practical and imperfect world that we inhabit is another dimension which Talmidim should be aware of. How attractive it must have been for somebody with a natural theoretician idealist tendency to confine himself to his real and compelling world of theoretical constructs. And yet, the Gadol Hador, the Kohen Gadol, has no such luxury. His functional duties, his minui, is compelling as well. Philosophically, the Rav perceives the difference between the Isha Halacha and the Isha Dat. The Isha Halacha, and in English translation, the homo religiosus, precisely in these terms. The Isha Halacha seeks to implement perfect Halacha in an imperfect world, whereas the Isha Dat, the routine religious man, seeks flight and escape to eternal truth. In his other writings, the Rav characterizes human involvement on the basis of Halachta Bedrachav, Imitati Odei, and the obligation, the imperative, the Kivshua. One does not have to be privy to secrets to be aware of the Rav's direct and practical and profound involvement in all aspects of American Jewish life in this past half century. His advice and his policy roles to Rabbanim through the RCA and through the Yeshiva, the broader Orthodox world, and something less well known, even the broader American and world Jewish scene, his contributions are a matter of record. He was always informed, aware, and concerned. His Klal Yisrael orientation is something, again, that is evident to anyone who reads his writings heard his drashos, or simply observed the man. The Chamesh drashos, Kol Dodi Dofeik, the essay confrontation, are merely examples of this concern and involvement. And of course, there's much that's not well known. Not that I know directly, but through my father, who knew the Rav very well in these matters throughout the years and through others, the Rav's behind-the-scene involvement in world, American, and individual community issues accents again this theme of commitment not only to the Kedushas HaGavra, but to the Minui as well. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur operates on three levels: Ba'ado, Ba'ad Beiso, Ba'ad Kol Klal Yisrael. And so did the Rav. The Big Day Kahuna, according to Halacha, come from Momor HaTzibur, precisely to establish the link between the lowest and the highest segments of society. The appointment of the Kohen Gadol again reflects this orientation. As I mentioned before, while the Balei Tosis link it to the Melech and Echav HaKohanim, the Rambam significantly links it to Bezen HaGadol, and clearly not in its juridical capacity, but in its capacity as the representatives of Kol Klal Yisrael. The Rav himself, in commenting on the sugi later on in Yuma, in which, with regard to Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Mishnah tells us, Masru L'Ziknei Bezdin, precisely makes this point. Ziknei Bezdin's capacity here are as the representation of Klal Yisrael. Both in teaching and his concern for all segments of the Jewish community, truly the Rav was, as we've heard him depicted so often in the last few days, Rabban shall call Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, something which is a rarity in our own polarized era. The question of balance, though, between the two Kedushos is, of course, the critical one. While the question of Yitzika and Meshicha in the Gemara, which is prior and the representation of these, Kedushas HaGavra and Kedushas Minui, is one issue, the order one aspect. Does the job transform the individual, or vice versa? The individual makes the job. In any case, what emerges clearly is one fact. There can be no Kedushas Minui without Kedushas HaGavra. There can be Kedushas HaGavra without Kedushas HaMinui, Bashuach Muhammad. Moreover, it seems obvious that the Kedushas HaGavra ultimately dictates policy in areas of function as well. The Rav's own Minui, as the appellation, I don't know the history of it, the Rav obviously suggests, reflects the dual theme. It was never elected to the post, obviously. It was a minui and is a minui, and yet a minui which underscores precisely the rootedness, the anchor in Kedushas HaGavra. The primacy of the Kedushas HaGavra, of the essence, of the theoretical constructs of the Talmud Torah, of the commitment to that Talmud Torah, is what made the Rav not only have Kedushas HaGavra, but susceptible and effective. In any case, what emerges clearly is one fact. There can be no Kedushas Minui without Kedushas HaGavra. There can be Kedushas HaGavra without Kedushas HaMinui, Pashuach Muhammad. Moreover, it seems obvious that the Kedushas HaGavra ultimately dictates policy in areas of function as well. The Rav's own minui has the appellation, I don't know the history of it, the Rav obviously suggests, reflects the dual theme. He was never elected to the post, obviously. It was a minui and is a minui, and yet a minui which underscores precisely the rootedness, the anchor in Kedushas HaGavra. The primacy of the Kedushas HaGavra, of the essence, of the theoretical constructs of the Talmud Torah, of the commitment to that Talmud Torah, is what made the Rav not only have Kedushas HaGavra, but susceptible and effective in the area of Kedushas Minui as well. How did he attain, though, that Minui? The dual Minui of Kedushas Minui, function, and essence, Kedushas HaGavra. Probably, speculating, the same way that the Kohen Gadol did. But while there are three different routes that a Kohen Gadol might take to achieve this, the Rav's achievement came about in the most comprehensive way possible. For the Rav, it was precisely the combination, the coalescing, of all three of the methods. Meshicha b'shemen amishcha, the ideal form pre-Churban Bayis Rishon. Ribui begadim, which the Pasuk speaks of ideally in conjunction with Shemen HaMishcha. And the third, the Gemara Numa, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Avodaso Mechanchaso. The Shemen HaMishcha, try to be brief, was the ideal route for Minui, I say, certainly before the first Churban. That, of course, is symbolic unto itself. There could be no Minui B'Shemen HaMishcha once the catastrophe of the first Churban had taken place. Jewish history was forever transformed. In addition to the fact that there simply was no Shemen HaMishcha, presumably there was no Shemen HaMishcha because it was inappropriate for Kiddush Ayde Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen HaMishcha was a charismatic and dramatic, symbolic, almost mystical, almost a coronation type of Kedusha, of Minui, similar to that of the Melech. The Rav's royal heritage and regal bearing made him a natural for the mantle of Gadol Hadar, of Kohen Gadol. Significantly, however, unlike the counterpart, the Melech, whose Malchus is passed through Yerusha, even without Meshicha, the Shemen HaMishcha, as long as there's no Machlokes over that Yerusha, the Gemara in Krisus, Daf Hamad Beis, tells us that the Kohen Gadol's Yerusha, he too passes on his mantle to his son, if his son is worthy. But even if worthy, and even if no machlokes, there is necessity for a separate Meshicha b'Shemen HaMishcha, even without machlokes. Spiritual leadership, which the Kuna Gedola is in terms of its primary essence, Melech also containing both themes, but being primarily an aspect of appointment and function, spiritual leadership requires always personal affirmation, a redousing b'shemen HaMishcha. The Rav's charismatic style, his abundant gifts, singled him out for this kind of Meshicha b'shemen HaMishcha. Of course, the charismatic choice, the Meshicha b'shemen HaMishcha, that kind of Minui, carries with it a special opportunity, but a special burden as well. Gemara tells us, and the Rambam codifies it in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, that the one difference between Meshicha b'Shemen HaMishcha and what took place after the first Churban was the special korban, the par, that was brought even for individual chataim by the Kohen Gadol. Only a Kohen Gadol who was Mashuach b'Shemen HaMishcha had the obligation to bring such a par. Apparently, this kind of Meshicha transformed his entire personal status. He was completely dominated by his minui, negating any kind of individual, private, citizen status. Even if he was to be a chote, he couldn't bring a regular korban. He had to bring a par. This singularity, loneliness, both a burden and opportunity, is a favorite theme, of course, again, in the Rav's writings. Existential crisis as the source of creativity, religious development, and leadership. The second route is Ribui Begadim, ideally combined with Shemen HaMishcha. But in later times, in the second Beis HaMikdash, the only method, or the primary method. Again, both are referred to in the Pesukim and Emor. This method of appointment anticipates already the Avodah itself, unlike Shemen HaMishcha, which is completely unrelated to the Avodah. And physically, it accents the specific differences between what was and what is, the previous and the present status, the transformation that takes place in the act of Minui. And, for that matter, continues to accent the distinctiveness of the Kohen Gadol from his counterpart, lesser colleagues, the Kohen Hedyot. Even, for that matter, from the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, for the Mashuach Milchama. The range and the repertoire, the multidimensionality of Ribui Begadim, Shemona Begadim, as opposed to Arba Begadim, reflect the choice and the prerequisite of its bearer. At the same time, the difference in quality is at least as crucial and critical to the differentiation. The Bigdei Hazav are critical. According to the Rambam, there is, however, another fundamental difference, which I just want to allude to briefly, between the Bigdei Kohen Hedyot and the Bigdei Kohen Gadol. Levishas avnet shel kilayim, shatnez, shelo bezman ho'avoda b'mikdash. Are you allowed to wear the avnet, which is made of kilayim, in the mikdash, shelo bezman ho'avoda? And this, there appears to be a basic debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, an issue again that the Rav spoke about in those shiurim, both in Krisus and in Yonei Avodas Yom HaKippurim. In the end of Hilchos Kilayim, the Rambam tells us the following. Kohanim shelavshu bigdei kahuna shelo b'shas avoda, afilu b'migdash lokin. The Kohen wears bigdei kahuna in the migdash, but shelo b'zman havoda is subject to malchus. Mipnei ha'avnei shehu kilayim, v'lo hutrubo ele b'shas avoda. After all, as long as there's no mitzvah savoda, the Iser Kilayim sets in and creates Chiv Malkus. The Ravid disagrees. Amar Avram Tobuze, Shariomar Biyuma Biperek Balo, Kohen Gadol B'Mikdash, Afilu Shelo B'Shas Avoda, Mutar. Number one, the Gemara seems to say explicitly that Kohen Gadol wears his Begadim Shelo B'Zman Avoda. Number two, my dekamar b'mtei ha'avneit shehu kilayim eino da'atu choshen b'eifod b'leisbu kilayim? Aren't there kilayim also in the choshen and the eifod? Same debate is echoed as well in Hukos Kli HaMikdash, Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Beis. But here, the language of the Rambam is worth noting. The Rambam tells us in Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Beis, also l'koin hedyot, Lelov show, referring to the Bigdei Kahuna, Ela B'Shas Avoda. Ein HaKohanim Lo Shim La'Avoda La Tzemer U'Pishtim Bilvat. And again, the Ravid, Omer Avraham Lo Mechuvar Min HaGemara Hachi, Ela Kol HaYom Mutar B'Mikdash. Whereas in Hilchos Kilayim, the Rambam speaks generally, in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, the Rambam accents Hedyot. And though the Kesef Mishnah denies the significance of this, the Radvaz, in Hilchos Kilayim at least, picks up on it. The Rav Beis Halevi, basically, quoting Beis Halevi, accepts this distinction as well. According to the Rambam, it's only Bigdei Kohen Hedyot that create an Yisra Malkus, Shelo B'Zman Ho'Avoda. With regard to Kohen Gadol, Bigdei Kohen Gadol, as long as one is B'Mikdash, there is no such Yisra. For that reason, the Rambam emphasizes Kohen Hedyot, Nechus Kli HaMikdash. For that reason, one can respond to both questions of the Ravid, both of which are rooted in Kohen Gadol. First, the citation of the Gemara that refers to Kohen Gadol. The second, why the emphasis on Avnet, why not speak about the Choshen, and the Ephod? The answer is that the Rambam is limited to the Kohen Hedyot, refers not to the Kohen Gadol. The question is, though, why? Why this qualitative difference? Why, if both are Bigdei Kahuna, why when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, there is no Malkus, even Shelo B'Shas Avoda, whereas when it comes to the Kohen Hedyot, there is this tightrope. Only the Avoda safeguards him from the Yisra Kilayim. The question is why? The Rav, I heard him speak of it, and again, this is the way it appears in the Kodesh Avodas Yom Kippurim, adopts the Beis HaLevi's approach, which is that there's a special Kiyum Levisha, Levisha's Begodim, specifically for a Kohen Gadol, even though he's divorced at the moment from the Avoda. Why? Due to the fact that Levishas, Bigdei Kahuna, have other residual impacts. The Ritzui Tzitz, argues the Beis HaLevi, which is Mechaper, Tumas Migdash Kadasha, that will apply only when the Kohen Gadol is dressed in full regalia, when he wears all the Shemona Begadim, the Big Days of. If he wears the Tzitz alone, it will not be effective. Since that's the case, even if the Tzitz is not operating as it happens in this moment, and even if one is divorced from a Voda proper, there is a Kiyum of Levishas Bigdei Kahuna Kolzman Aydei Kohen Gadol. The Rav added to this, I think significantly in light of the distinction of Minui and Kedusha, that perhaps She'ela B'urim V'tumim also plays a role in establishing a separate Kiyum Levishas Bigdei Kahuna Aydei Kohen Gadol. This theme, Kiyum Bigdei Kahuna, in and of itself, separate from Avoda, is significant unto itself. In other words, Bigdei Kohen Gadol are more than simply a means or a prerequisite to the act of Avoda. It's on this basis that the Rav, in another context, suggests that one explain the discrepancy between the Rambam and the Gemara. The Rambam argues that Ribui B'Gadim, which is Mekadesh, applies even if it's not accompanied by an act of Avoda itself. On the other hand, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, when it speaks of the substitute Kohen Gadol, says the following. Pshita, Irobo Psul Kodim Tamid Shal Shachar, Mechan Chanoso B'Tamid Shal Shachar. Irobo Psul Achar Tamid Shal Shachar, B'me Mechan Chanoso, Amar Avada Barava B'Avnet. Hen Nichilamando Amar Avneta Shal Kohen Gadol, Ze Avneta Shal Kohen Hedyot. Tilamando Amar Avneta Shal Kohen Gadol, Lo zeu avneta shel kohen hedyot. Michael Meimar. Omer Abaye, lo vei shmona umahapech b'tzinora. The only way for a kohen gadol, for the substitute kohen gadol, to accomplish his kedusha, his minui, his temporary minui, is to be lovesh bigdei kahuna, and to do an avoda. And yet, when the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash quotes the methods of minui, clearly, he quotes it in such a manner that indicates that Ribui B'Gadim alone is sufficient. There is no need for an accompaniment by the Avoda. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, says this explicitly. Ketzad marben also bebgadim, lo veish shimon bebgadim uposhton v'chozer v'lo shom l'machar shivas yomim yom achar yom. Shenemar shivas yomim yilbshem akoin tachtav mibanav. G'shem sheribu bebgadim zayin, kach meshicha b'shemen shiva yomim yom achar yom. Vim avad kodim sheyisrab bebgadim kol shiva, o kodim sheyimshach kol shiva, avodaso k'sheira. Hol v'nisraba o nimshach pamachas, nasa kohen gadol l'chol davar. The Rambam here in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel says clearly that Levishas Bigdei Kohen Gadol unaccompanied by Avoda is Mekadesh. The Rav suggested that the Rambam is simply Lashitaso. Levishas Bigdei Kohen Gadol for Kohen Gadol are a Kiyum Bifnei Atzmo, one which is able to accomplish the Minui. The fact that it's a little bit out of sorts with the Gemara and Yuma is a different problem, one which has a solution which I'm not going to mention, or maybe won't mention actually at the moment. There is, however, another explanation why it is that Bigdei Kohen Gadol are different than Bigdei Kohen Hedyot, why even Shelo B'Shas Avoda B'Mikdash there is no Iser Kelayim. And here, I think that the Radvaz's explanation is maybe more compelling, at least it's more relevant to us. The Radvaz explains this halacha in the following terms, by invoking the very pasuk in Emor that I mentioned earlier. It says the following, very cryptic remark, but a very critical one. It says, Odeh shlomar, delegabe koin gadol dechsivbe umen amigdash lo yetzei, Hutar kilayim legabe. Abu koin hedjot, lo hutar lo, ele bishasa voda, kedemashu besugya serachin. So Radvaz says, the reason that a person, the reason that the Kohen Gadol can wear his begadim whenever he chooses, is because the Kohen Gadol, when he is an onain, is still makriv. It's min amigdash leyetze. What does one thing have to do with the other? I think the point of the Radvaz, though, is a profound one. The Kohen Gadol has no life as an individual. Metaphorically, he never goes home. He never leaves the Migdash or its Avoda. His Kedushas HaGavra is always linked to his Kedushas Minui. For him, there really is no Shelo B'Shas HaAvoda. He is the Ish Halacha par excellence. In that sense, he has no personal Avelos, min HaMigdash LaYetze. His Avoda is not even interrupted for that, as he's incapable of extricating himself from his function, his minui, or his essence, his Kedushas HaGavra. And finally, the Gemara compares Kohen Gadol with Klishares, as it determines the Avodaso, Mechanchaso, Umechadshaso, initiation by fire, one that is justified by performance, and enhanced and invested with further Kedusha by that very performance itself. The Rav's unparalleled absorption in Talmud Torah and the conceptual categories of halacha was accompanied by a yigiyah, a tenacity when it came to Talmud Torah that seemingly knew no bounds. This, of course, was reflected in the marathon shiurim, in the refusal to capitulate, and the stubbornness evidenced on a daily basis in the shiur. It made him the standard bearer, the Kohen Gadol, to his thousands of Talmidim. All of us, each on his own level, can learn important lessons from this theme, Avodaso Mechanchaso. The Yigiya, the rigor, the work, contributed to making the Rav the Rav. As did Avodaso Mechanchaso, the teaching, the involvements. All of these went into both the Kedushas Minui and, I would suggest, the Kedushas Agavra as well. We must have faith that Hashgacha ultimately will anoint another Kohen Gadol eventually, though it seems doubtful to us that all three of the methods of Minui, Shemen HaMishcha, Ribui B'Gadim, Avodasa Mechanchaso, will again be merged into one appointment. In any case, the Rav's Kedushas HaGavra is irreplaceable, accessible only by studying of his Torah and trying to emulate the values that he projected. A great legacy, a great responsibility. When the Kohen Gadol passes away, all those who have been exiled in Golos for committing Ritzicha B'Shogeg are set free. The Mishnah in Makos tells us this, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, with regard to all of the types of Minui. Mishnah, after all, tells us Echad Mashuach b'shemen amishcha, Echad Amruva b'gadim, the Echad Sh'avar Mimshichuso, even the one who no longer functions in terms of his Minui, but only in terms of his Kedushas HaGavra, Machzirin es harotzeach. Rab Yudah Omer, Af Mashuach Milchama, Machzir es harotzeach. The responsibility of the Kohen Gadol to his door, positive and negative, are reflected in this halacha and developed by the Gemara itself. Gemara Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, my havale lemevad, what is the link to the Kohen Gadol? Hayelo levakesh rachamim sheyigmar dino l'schus v'labikesh. Which means not only that it was his responsibility, in some cases, there can be no responsibility, certain people are guilty, but the very fact that it might have been his responsibility reflects the role that he plays in his door and establishes that a new beginning is initiated at his Ptira. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, however, by recommitting to his own priorities, both to his Kedushas HaGavra and his Kedushas Minui, to his Talmud Torah, and to the theme of Achdus, L'Knesset Yisrael. I'll be happy to join. Shlech Tzibur.